You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coach, it's great to see you. Love to be back down there talking to you guys in person, but obviously this is the situation we're in, so I hope that you and the family are doing well. Sal Capaccio from WGR for anybody who's listening. And obviously yesterday, Leslie spoke with us about Jake apologizing to the team for the text messages that were sent. Obviously being a quarterback, somebody you work directly with, somebody in that room, can you walk us through, you know, what your reaction was, what the team's reaction was, and how that scenario played out yesterday during the morning?
Sure. First of all, hope you and your family are well too. Jake spoke to the team yesterday, which really comprised of coaches, players, and support staff. And, you know, gave an apology to the text messages that came out yesterday. He knows that he has a lot of work to do to earn the trust of his teammates back. And I'm a big believer in actions speak louder than words. So I know he'll be committed to that. We have a strong leadership group, a strong culture in our room. But, you know, Jake is a young man who apologized. And you know, where we go moving forward, he's got a lot to do to earn the trust and confidence of the players and everyone else in the building back. And I know he'll work hard to do that.
Hey, Brian, good to see you.
Josh
Reed here. Hey, hope you're doing well. Thanks for taking the time. You mentioned briefly there the culture inside the locker room in this team, and we hear Sean talk about it ad nauseum. You know, it's something that he's preached since day one. How does that, what you guys have built culturally, how does that help kind of navigate the waters right now?
Well, I think two things. First of all, Sean and Brandon have really done a good job of really cultivating what we have here. It's about bringing the right people in, people that are hardworking, that are smart, that, you know, treat people like they want to be treated. You know, these are tough times, challenging times, and you want to associate yourself with people that are good people, that are willing to do the right thing. And we have a bunch of those guys, not only in our locker room, but on the coaching staff and in the building as well. And that's what, you know, that's what our focus is to, you know, bond with one another, to help each other out, to show empathy, to do what we can do, our part, to try to help make things better. So we have a strong room, a strong organization. By no means is it perfect, but that's always our goal.
Hey, Coach, Heather Prusak here from WIBB here in Buffalo. Thanks for taking the time to do this morning. I hope you and your family are doing well. Good to see you. Going off of what Josh just asked, you know, from your perspective, we've heard Leslie and Sean talk about how they're communicating with the team during everything that's happening in this world. From your perspective, how are those conversations and that communication going amongst the team? And what are you doing to make sure that, you know, I think it was Leslie said he doesn't want to be a fractured team, fractured sure. locker room over this, or, you know, be divided. So I guess from your perspective, how is that communication going? You know, guys talking about all these things.
Yeah. How you doing, Heather? Hope all is well with you. You too. Look, open communication is a catalyst for change. And I'm not going to sit up here and pretend to understand what some of my players, some of my friends are going through. I'm here to listen, to support them, let them know that I love them, that I have their back, help lead them, be involved as much as I can. It's a tough topic. Yeah, I've had a lot of conversations with guys, some longer than others, and I want to let them know that I love them, that I have their back, and that I'm willing to help. My family's willing to help in any way.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Brian, Mike Catalan up in Rochester.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good to see you.
You too.
My impression has been through the years that the conversations with coaches and players have changed. Years ago, it seemed to be coaches talking at players, now talking with them. And I get the feeling with Buffalo, it's not starting conversations, it's continuing them. How important has it been to have had this now when we're in this crucial time in our whole country, that it's not just like, okay, guys, now we're going to talk. You've been talking already.
Sure. Well, I think a foundation of a good organization is building relationships. And this is a people business we're in. Sure, there's X's and O's and schemes and challenges along the way and dealing with adversity. But you deal with adversity through building relationships, genuine relationships, loving relationships. My guys know that I got their back, and I know they got mine. But that's not, you just come into a room and that happens. You have to develop that over time. And sometimes, conversations happen that lead you to become closer. But I think transparency is important. I think making sure that they know you care about them as people. Again, as the NFL has gone on and as football has gone on, you're right. You know, back in the day, your coach would tell you to do something and you did it. A lot of times nowadays, everybody wants to understand the why. And you have to do a good job of communicating the why to these guys. But there's no substitute, Mike, none at all, for the relationship that you can build with the people that you're with on a day-in, day-out basis. And that's one of the most important things to me, not just as a coach, but as a person, to have real relationships. And that's never going to change. That's how I was raised. That's what myself and my wife and my family believe is relationships are the catalyst for change. Relationships are the catalyst for success. We're going to face some adversity along the way in a lot of different areas. And, a loving, caring relationship where people understand that it's give and take, I think is very important.
If I could just follow up real quickly, I hear your FaceTime game is strong. The players all talk about it. Is it something you've been working on the offseason?
I've been working on it since it's kind of came out. I'm not very technologically advanced with some other things, but FaceTime is definitely one of them if you want to consider it technological advancement. I just think that, whether I can, see you in person and talk to you, even though we're not here, versus just hear a voice, I would rather see you. I would rather see the emotion on your face. I do it with all of them. We have, I'm not much of a person that uses a lot of texts or a lot of phone calls, but I certainly use FaceTime a lot. And whether they enjoy it or not, I'm not sure. So.
All right, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian. Thanks so much for doing this. It's great to see you. It's great to see, by the way, everybody in this Zoom conference. This is we're not wired to be doing this stuff. We should all be together, but that's a whole other story. So I'm going to have a follow-up, but the first part is following up with what Mike just asked you about virtual face-to-face.
Sure.
This is such a critical offseason for Josh Allen. This is the one where, you know, the transition to whatever that next level is, you're counting on that to everybody within the team. But that work, that ability to do so is clearly not – it wouldn't seem to be helped by this distance. If you could explain how and what – you know, how it's been achieved from your standpoint – with him specifically, and you could also talk about, I know that workout they had last weekend in Florida, how that might factor into it and what your role might have been with that as well. But more, if you can, as best you can get into the detail of how you've been able to guide him through this, and what's your impression of what you're getting back from the other end of a computer screen most of the time?
Sure, Vic. First of all, hope you and your family are well. So this off season has been really the same for every team. And I think the thing that Sean has really expressed to us is we're not going to make any excuses about the situation that we're in. It's the situation that everybody's in. So how can we do our part to make it as good as we can make it? And that's where our focus has been. That's where all our effort and our energy lies. And it's not just with Josh, Vic. It's with our entire team, and I'll speak for the offense, with our entire offense. So first of all, I'd like to give credit and a thank you to our video department, our IT department, to make this possible where we can do this with these guys and help set up the film and things like that when you're doing it virtually Zoom. Those guys have been fantastic. The second thing is, you know, you learn different techniques of teaching, and it makes you better maybe along the way to help these guys out. Certainly, you can evaluate the things that they've learned on a Zoom call because they're not able to take it to the field. But there are so many different things that have come up, and credit to our assistant coaches. You know, I'll jump in their meetings, which they meet with those guys on an individual basis a lot, and the different techniques and styles of things and quizzes and, you know, game shows. And, you know, they've just done a really good job of taking whatever we needed to do and making it as good as they can make it. You know, Josh, I know, has been working just like he always does in the off season. He's in his third year in the system. You know, so he knows probably, you know, a lot more than he knew at the beginning. And same with Matt. Matt's coming into, you know, 2.5 years, and Davis, and then the rookie's young. But, you know, it's new for everybody. So time will tell on that, Vic. But in terms of what we're able to do and how we're able to do it, you know, the guys, and again, the assistant coaches are the ones that are doing it a bunch. You know, we do it once in a while together, but it's really the assistant coaches. And, you know, we have a really good assistant coaching staff. The guys that work with me have really gone above and beyond for their players to try to help them in any way possible. And I would say that's just not, you know, with the scheme stuff. They're there for them for anything that they need.
And the follow-up, our first chance to ask you about the addition of Stephon Diggs, and if you could kind of break down what you think that is going to mean to this offense.
Yeah, well, Stephon is a good football player. He's a good receiver. He's a good person. I'm glad we have him. We've had quite a few conversations with him and trying to develop that relationship that I talked about earlier that is so important, and we're well on our way of doing that. He's smart. He's been involved in all the meetings. So, you know, can't wait to get back out there to get out to practice and work together. But, you know, give credit to those guys and, you know, led by Josh Allen, that they were able to go spend some time down there in Florida and do some things together. But happy we have Stefan. He fits well into the room with our other players, and looking forward to working with him come training camp.
Thanks so much, Brian. Best to you and your family.
Same to you, Vic.
Gotta say, Brian, I'm pretty disappointed that we don't see some type of hair growth out there. You know, we're all growing our hair out. We got the flow going, and I was expecting a little bit more.
You know the definition of impossible?
There you go. Speaking of Stefan Diggs, obviously it's probably been a challenge in the virtual setting to kind of get him integrated with everybody. This week in your meetings since the Florida workouts, what kind of feedback did you get, not only from him, but the other players that were there, about how important that was to finally get around each other and start to work together?
Sure. That's what we do. That's how you're evaluated. You know, again, you know, it was really, really encouraging sign to see Josh, along with some of the other guys, get things together, and be able to go down there and, you know, do routes on air and throw some routes. You know, when they got back and we were talking about it in one of the Zoom calls the other day, I just thought that it was good for them to get together. They were very happy about it. It wasn't just football stuff. They did a lot of other things. Team building is always important. And again, we're only talking about a couple days here. But it was good. I know they enjoyed it. They got some stuff out of it. And, you know, that's good when your players want to do that, particularly in some of the tough times that we're in right now.
And quick follow on the offensive line, you know, a unit that was had four new starters last year. This offseason, not a lot of new additions. Darrell Williams now in the mix. But how much ability does that unit have to improve just based on continuity alone?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, time will tell. I have a lot of confidence in those guys. It starts from the top with Bobby, who I think is a fantastic football coach. Wendy and Hef, but you know, those guys in that room, they're close-knit guys, and you know, we've added, like you said, DeWill and Baim and some undrafted guys, and you know, the challenge of playing that position is you really have to see the game through the same set of eyes, all five of them, and it takes all five, and if there's a little leak in one of them, you know, it's a reflection of all five of them, and they take pride in that. It's a hard position to play. A lot of things that go along with it, but certainly it's a close-knit group that works well together. And you know, each year we aim on improving. Each practice we aim on improving. And you know, that's what our really mantra is. Let's just take it one day at a time and improve and control the things. Really dominate the things we can control. Talk about controlling what you control. You can dominate those things, your preparation, your communication skills, and really make no excuses. And those guys are, you know, I love all of them, man. They work hard. They're a close-knit group. And, you know, we got a long way to go here, though, you know, for missing these OTAs and you're not being on the field. You're missing, you know, 8,000, 9,000 reps of working together in different forms and fashion between individual drills and group settings and team stuff. So we'll have a lot of work to do. And can't wait to start.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian. Yeah, it's bad allergies, but also I'm just old. That's why I look so tired. So just to clarify.
I feel your pain, Sal.
Hey, a couple things real quick. First of all, on Josh Allen, we alluded to it earlier that obviously there's no excuses here. Every team's in the same boat. But given you know, how important year three is for Josh Allen. Is it a concern to you that you did lose all this time on the field? And if that's the case, how important is it going to be to really hit the ground running if and when you ever get to a real training camp?
Sal, I hope your family is well too, and you're doing well. Claritin, or you know, I don't know which one is your
I've got them all.
Patient of choice, but they sometimes that'll help. Listen, again, I've talked about us being in the same boat. Everybody is behind based on the circumstances we are in terms of on-field work, technique work, chemistry work. There's no substitute for that. But we really, Sal, don't focus on that because it doesn't do us any good to focus on the things that we can't control. Certainly, we would love to have all of our players out there on the field working together and improving their techniques and fundamentals and implementing seams and seeing how they take it from the classroom to the field. But that's just not the world we live in. To your point, it will be extremely important, not just for Josh, but for everybody when we get back to training camp to really hit the ground running. And it's going to be important on all ends, from the player's end to where they are physically, to the coach's end in terms of the installation schedule and things you want to put together. Because again, you're missed. There's no substitute for those 700, 800, 900 reps that you're missing in OTAs. But you know, we're all in the same boat. We'll be prepared. We'll be ready to go when training camp hits. Sean will have a good schedule put together for us. And we'll be excited to go out there and execute it.
And if I could follow real quick, could you give us a quick breakdown on Hodgins and Davis, the two receivers that you guys drafted? Obviously, you had a big part in that. Could you – we haven't talked to you. Just give us a quick breakdown on
those
two picks.
Sure. Yeah. First of all, they're really good people. Intelligent. I mean, these are some – For young players who haven't been in the building, who are learning the system for the first time, you can tell they put a lot of work into it, and they're doing a good job of grasping the information the way we're teaching it right now. Now, that translates to the field remains to be seen, but they have great families. I was on a call with Gabe the other day and got to meet his mom, and his mom said if he's giving us any problems, just let her know. But he is, they both have great personalities. They're bigger guys, size guys. They were productive at their colleges at UCF and Oregon State. Had an opportunity to just watch them on tape. You know, you didn't get to go down and work them out, but big body guys that can high point the ball and have good ball skills, can make some contested catches. Again, how they fit with us and not seeing them in the roles that we asked them to do would be unfair of me to answer. But I'm happy that we have them. I'm glad that Brandon and Joe and those guys drafted them because they fit our DNA, both the type of men they are and really the type of player. Tough, physical guys that, again, have good ball skills, are not afraid, and, provide us a little bit of size.
Thanks, Brian. Be well.
You too, Sal.
Brian, John Warrow, good seeing you and hope you're well.
Wait a minute. Who's that?
John Warrow.
When's the last time you shaved, John?
When did the pandemic begin?
March 12th for me.
That's about right.
Okay.
That's about right. Looking at Josh and what he did over the past couple of weeks with working out with the rookies and then with mostly the entire offense down in Florida, how encouraged or how much did you, in times of adversity, how important was it to see Josh take continue to take ownership of his role as a leader and, at that position?
It's important. He's our quarterback, but you can't force leadership. you can improve it, you can learn about it, you can grow from it. But Josh has innate leadership qualities that guys gravitate towards. And he understands his role on the team, not making it more than it is, being one of the guys, being there for the players around him, helping them with the system, getting them together so that you can build that team chemistry. Not all about football. You'd have to ask his teammates, but he's been a fantastic leader for us, and it doesn't surprise me.
And just as on another topic, and thanks for that, Brian. When it comes to Jake Fromm, how difficult in the discussions among the coaches was it to resist just to out up and just cut the guy, knowing, seeing what the pushback was and knowing what the level, just where we are in society today. How difficult was it to resist that urge or recommend that urge?
Well, I think that would be a question for Brandon and Sean. He talked to the team, he apologized, and he understands what he needs to do to earn the trust of his teammates back. And it's not an easy road, it's a long road. Again, I've said actions speak louder than words, but in terms of those other things, that's really a question for Brandon or Sean.
That's fair, Brian. Hope to see you meet me unshaving in person real soon.
Okay. At least trim it up a little bit, huh?
Hey, Brian, Thad Brown. Thanks again for doing this. You know, we all really appreciate it.
No problem, Thad.
I look like the anti-Wawrow right now. I got the haircut yesterday, so I appreciate it.
I can see it. So, got a nice product in there, it looks like.
A little bit, yeah. You know, I mean, you gotta work something in there.
Sure.
I wanted to ask about the off-season workouts. Do you notice that it's a little bit easier for you because you're in year three as opposed to year one? And then also, how do you keep guys interested when their entire day is just this on Zoom?
Yeah, Thad, that's a good question. It's really a testament to the guys in terms of their interest level and their concentration and focus during meetings. But it's also, like I said before, a credit to, Bobby Johnson, Hef, and Wendy in the line room, Rob Boris in the tight end room, Dorsey and Shea in the quarterback room, and Chad and Mark and Skip, is you have to find creative ways. You have to think outside the box to initiate conversation, to teach new methods, to learn new testing systems with what we have. And, we have to do the best that we can do with the technology that we have. Again, how that translates, we'll find out. This is a unique situation for all of us. In terms of the third system, I would never use the word easy, because each year is a new year and you need to integrate new players, whether that's rookies, free agents, members of the team that are new or just, that haven't really done a whole lot for you. So you don't go back to, it's not as long and drawn out maybe as when you first started the program, but you need to make sure you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's and reinstalling the things that you have in your system. But look, systems change too based on personnel. So, there's a lot of work that was done and that is done in each offseason, from system evaluation to studying of other professional teams or other college teams, that, there might be some things in there that you want to incorporate because of the people that you have. We added, like you said, someone said, forgive me who it was, but, we added D. Williams on the line and Bame, and then, we added Diggs. So it wasn't like a mass overhaul. We added some rookie free agents, but you know, you have to introduce those things to the new players. And sometimes the skill set that you acquire, that you pick up in an offseason, you know, that's different than the skill set from the previous year. Not worse, it's not better, whatever it may be, it's just different. So it's your job as a coach, without seeing them on the field, you have to go back and dig into the, whether it's the Minnesota tape or the Carolina tape or the Indy or the Miami stuff, and figure out, you know, what do you think, what do you perceive their strengths to be, and how can we use them in a manner that fits us? And if you don't have those things in your system, then it's your job to go out and investigate and research and install some new things. And that happens that on a yearly basis. It's kind of the cycle of the NFL is, you know, if you just stay in the same and running the exact same plays year in and year out, you're not really doing a service to your players if you're not trying to dig as deep as you can, you know, to learn new things as a coach, to grow as a coach, and to grow as a team.
Brian, just real quick, it seems like the events of the last week and a half or so have shook you up emotionally a little bit. Did that surprise you at all?
No. Did it surprise me that it shook me up?
I mean, in terms of more the relationship with your players, you know, obviously the way this world has changed and has, I guess, gone about, you know, reacting to what happened in Minnesota has shook everybody up. But for you, it seems like this is something that affected you personally with your relationship with this team.
Sure. Well, not just my team, with my friends. You know, I have a lot of friends and, you know, not just on this football team and some friends and players on this team that that are special to me and that are true, true friends. And I'm just a guy that grew up supporting the people that I love and making sure that if they're going through a tough time, then I'm going to be there for them. And that ain't ever going to change.
Thanks, Brian.
Yep.
Coach, good morning. Mookie Hawkins, Buffalo Sports 1080. Last time we spoke, we were at the combine. He was talking about your daughter's basketball team.
Yeah.
Didn't cut it short, but, you know, here we are. So let's just chime right into it, Coach. Improvements for Josh Allen. What are some of the improvements you're looking to see in Josh this year? And with all these new additions offensively, how creatively will this offense become elite?
Well, we're gonna go ahead and start from, you know, start from the bottom where we're at when we get to training camp and try to improve each day with our installation and the things that we put in. You know, it's hard right now to say, you know, where we're gonna be or where we're not gonna be until you see all the pieces on the field working together and figuring out on a day-to-day basis. And that's going to be important. You know, practice is always important. It's the most important thing we do because, you know, you're able to see the guys execute the stuff that you put in the classroom, and that's really where the game is played. And you're going to have to do a good job, as you always are, but I'd say even more this year during training camp on being ready to adapt and adjust in a very quick manner, because there might be something that you thought was a good thing to install and you get out there and it just doesn't look great. And again, missing all those reps and, you know, muscle memory and familiarity with things and body language between a quarterback and a receiver. Those are important. As you guys can remember last year, I remember getting some questions about, you know, early on in camp about Cole and Josh and, you know, the different little option routes and things we run and how important that chemistry is. You don't get that until you do it a bunch. So, you know, we're going to be looking to hit this thing ground running and making adjustments the way we need to make them. But the installation schedule is going to be critical, and the ability to adjust and adapt during that time is going to be really quick because, you know, God willing, the season is going to be on us quick, and it's going to be our job to really hit the boulders, as we so to speak, to make sure we're ready to go.
Thanks a lot, Coach.
Thank you. Hope all is well.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Dabes.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
With all the new additions on the offense from the rookies to the free agents, how have you seen the new players go out of their way and the vets go out of their way to try and get to know each other in this weird virtual setting that we're all in?
Sure. Well, I said this before, we have a strong leadership group and a strong culture set in place already by Sean and Brandon. And, you know, guys like, you know, I jump into these Zoom calls. You know, it's a lot more personal when you can just break it down into smaller groups to teach rather than having 50, 60 guys. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. So I'll jump into these Zoom calls and watch the position coaches teach. And I'll jump in there and have communication with these guys. And really it's about the best part of my day because, you know, the receiver room is fantastic in terms of their personalities and the conversations that they have and the way they go about learning and the competition. And, you know, guys like Smoke and Beasley and Andre Roberts, they're always there for Diggs and for these young guys. And then you got some guys that have been in our system for a while, like Robert and Isaiah, that keep it light, particularly Isaiah McKenzie. He has a way of keeping things light, and you know he does a great job of making guys laugh or yell at them or whatever it may be. But you know the guys that were here, the guys that have played with us for the last few years or last year, again, guys like Smoke, Beasley, Patrick DeMarco, Lee Smith, John Feliciano, Q Spain, Mitch Morris, you know, obviously Josh. And, you know, we have a lot of good guys in our building, not just good leaders, but good guys. And, you know, it helps when you're a good guy and a good leader. And the guys that we bring in, you know, we look for a certain DNA. And those guys have done a great job of, you know, falling in line with those other guys, asking questions, showing us their personality the best way they can. And I think that's very important. But, you know, I always talk to, you don't always have to be a third, a fourth, a 10th year player to be a leader. You know, young guys can lead and you lead by doing the right thing, doing things the way they're supposed to be done, when they're supposed to be done all the time. And, you know, it's a good group to work with. I'm excited to get out there with them and get back with them in person and work with them in the classroom and on the field. And I can't wait till that happens.
And a quick follow-up, want to talk about your FaceTime game a little bit more.
I've heard that
you FaceTime players just to ask them random questions or just to catch up beyond the X's and O's of football. Why do you think it's important to have that rapport with your offensive players and build those types of relationships right away?
Because you work with them on a day-to-day basis. It's not just, you know, you're a coach and you're a player. They're great friends of mine too. And calls matter, I think. Concern matters. Friendship matters. Because you're going to go through some tough times. And you got to be real. You know, that's why I try to be with these guys is real. And I hope that, you know, they know how much I care about them. And I believe they do. And, you know, you sometimes, you know, I got a lot of kids running around this house, too. So it's good to just jump in this little office that I got and FaceTime with some guys and see how they're doing and let my wife kind of deal with all the hustle and bustle that's going on in my house and, you know, spend a couple hours talking to some different guys each night. You know, it's like I said before, I'd rather see you and see the emotion on your face, happy, sad, whatever it may be. Everybody goes through different things. But I said it before, I'll say it again. I love the guys. I got a lot of respect for them and they're, you know, really good players for us, but you know, they're really good friends to me.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Hey, Brian, it's Jay with the Buffalo News. Hope you're doing well. Thanks a lot for doing this and speaking from the heart. Wanted to ask you, and I know it's tough to maybe answer, seeing as you haven't seen him on a professional field yet, but Zach sure. Moss, how can he complement Devin Singletary in your mind?
Sure. Well, you know, Zach was a very productive, as you guys know. You know, he really did a good job on his college tape on demonstrating some of the qualities that we're looking for in a running back. He's a tough, hard-nosed, downhill guy that, you know, for being a bigger body guy, he still has the ability to make people miss in short spaces. But we really liked the toughness that he ran with. Again, Jay, and I appreciate the question. It's a really good question. You know, how it's going to complement, you know, we'll find out soon enough when the pads come on. And again, I think it's just important for all these young guys to come in ready to go, be in shape, be physically fit, and demonstrate the things that we saw them do on their college film. It's a hard transition, as all of us know on this call, to go from college to the pros and be successful right away. Some can do it. Some it takes a little bit longer, but the quicker that you can do it, the more you help your team out. We're certainly excited to have Zach join our team, and we do think he has a good skill set for the type of things that we would do with him, and look forward to getting him out there and seeing how that goes here in hopefully July.
Yeah, and then to follow on the you've talked some on the wide receivers. You know, you add Stephon and a pair of draft picks to a position where you have a lot of guys back. I mean, you're going to have, just on sheer numbers, good players who can't make this football team. What's that? You know, what's the challenge for you and your staff going to be like in terms of trying to sort that out and making some really difficult decisions at that position?
Yeah, Jay, those are always tough decisions. And you hope as the years go on in your program, in your organization, the decisions do become tougher and tougher. You know, these guys put their heart and soul to do everything they can do to help the team and make the squad. And unfortunately, we can only keep a certain amount of them. Those decisions, Jay, on a year-to-year basis are always difficult decisions because you have so much respect for what the players put into it, laying their bodies on the line. And the work ethic that they, you know, that they utilize to get to this point, those are tough decisions. And you know, when you're in training camp, you usually meet once a week, sometimes a little more than that, maybe every 2 weeks, depending on how it's going, to evaluate where you're at as a team and as a roster and the players in each position room and how that fits to best come up with your 53. And they're tough, man. They're tough. And the more talent you get, the more competition, those become, as you can imagine, even tougher. And then you got to make the decision that you think is best for the interest of your football team. And those days, you know, the days that you have to release those players, man, those are tough days for the players, but man, they're tough days for the coaches too.
Thanks, Brian. Be well.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
Hey, Coach. Good to see you, man. Thanks for the time, as always.
Yeah, no problem.
So the off-season mantra, and I know this didn't come out of your mouth, but it's come out of Brandon's mouth, it's come out of Coach McDermott's mouth, the need to score more points going into this year. I realize there are a countless number of variables each and every week that you play in the regular season, but do you at least feel you are better equipped and have a greater potential to score more points on a regular basis going into the fall?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the goal every week, Chris. Again, appreciate the question. Time will tell. You know, you have to go out there and offensive football is assignment football, is execution football. And you have to rep it, and you have to get as many reps as you can to perfect the craft that you need it to do. Certainly, we all want to score more points. That's the goal. But we all want to win however we need to win. However the game dictates it, that's what we're always going to do. But offensively, your number one goal is to score points, and that's an area we definitely want to improve on. We're going to work very hard to get that job done. And we got a lot of work. We got a lot of work ahead of us in the coming months.
And then, Coach, just with respect to the time making up for lost time, Coach McDermott probably back in April said that he would put at the top of the priority list in terms of making up for lost time, timing in the passing game. Number one, would you agree with that? And how much do you have to kind of shift your priorities in terms of what has to get accomplished first and foremost now with the time lost?
Yes, I agree with that. It's, again, there's so many things and so many little details that need to be accomplished to make a successful pass play work. And there's no question we haven't had the opportunity to do that. So I think it was great what Josh did, albeit not against the defense, but you're still working on time with your footwork and depth of a route and timing of the throw and all those sorts of things. But yeah, you know, there's no substitute for reps, Chris. And, you know, that's why I go back again to the development and the input that, you know, the coaches and myself will have in the installation schedule and how we put that together and how we're able to adapt and adjust as the days stack together to make sure we're getting exactly what we need, not just scheme-wise, but timing-wise and fundamental-wise, because there's no substitute for going out there and doing the job. So, you know, we're going to have a great plan, and I'm sure Sean is going to put together a great, you know, schedule for training camp as we go, and we'll follow his lead, and, you know, we'll be ready to hit the ground running when the time's ready.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Hey, Brian, how's it going? It's Joe.
Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Not too bad. Hope all is well over there.
Same to you.
Thank you. I was just curious on your thoughts because leadership and quarterbacks kind of go hand in hand, and their quarterbacks are universally held to a higher standard because of what goes on with their position. So I guess what I'm wondering is how realistic is it? And you mentioned that Jake Fromm has a long way to go to regain the trust of the locker room as a whole. But how realistic is it for a quarterback, above all else, to regain the trust of his teammates, to go out and battle for him and that his message doesn't fall on deaf ears, especially considering the fact that he's a rookie that has only met a handful of these guys and hasn't been able to establish those relationships in the first place?
Sure. Appreciate the question. Again, to me, action speaks louder than words. So time will tell, Joe. I mean, that's a short answer to a longer question, but you know, that's what Jake's going to have to do. And time will tell, you know, so he's just going to have to take it day by day and prove to all of us that, you know, he's headed in the right direction. And again, the players that we have in our building, culture, the chemistry, and I believe in those guys. And again, we'll see as we go along here, Joe.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Got it.
Hey, Brian, the last year at this time, top of the running back depth chart was LeSean McCoy and Frank Gore.
Yeah.
A year later, now you're looking at Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. How does your approach change in dealing with the running back room when, you know, that's a big difference between that, the experience in those four guys?
Yeah, a lot of mileage with those other two guys, that, you know, two of the best that's ever done it. Again, Josh, and this is just my experience in pro football, things change on a year-to-year basis. You add new players. Obviously, Motor's not a new player. He's in his second year, but you add new players and you got to get them ready to go. And we have, we have confidence in these, you know, particularly I would say Motor, having him see him do it for us. And Zach, and, you know, I'd be remiss to leave out a guy like TJ Yeldon, who, was a productive player at Alabama and has gone through some things in the league, but he's done a good job with anything we've ever asked him to do here. So we'll have a competitive room. We brought back T. Jones. We added, you know, Williams, a rookie. We'll have a competitive room. And again, it's our job as a coaching staff and ultimately my responsibility to make sure we're trying to do the things that fit, you know, not just the running backs, but the entire, you know, offensive unit. They definitely have skill set. They might differ a little bit in some of it, and some of it they may be the same. But they're two young, eager players that, you know, I have a lot of confidence in that they'll be ready to go when training camp comes.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.